By now, you probably know we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Quicken Loans. And we start hour number two. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. Coming up in about 35 minutes, I've got a conversation with a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Lee Jenkins. Meantime, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You know the drill by now. Hit me up on Twitter. Shoot me an email. Go mark up my Facebook page. Check out Instagram. You know this world works. Get to social and interact. You've got game five of the Stanley Cup Final. It is tonight. The last 31 teams to go up 3-1 have won. What's going to happen? Joining us right now to break it down is an NHL Network host. He is a very good friend of the program. A clone, the former UCLA basketball manager. You can watch him host NHL Network's NHL Tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern live from Las Vegas. And immediately following tonight's Game 5, we are joined by Tony Loughman. Tony, good morning. What's up? How are you?
I am thrilled to be back with you, Rome. I am always honored to come on the show, and I love being acknowledged as a clone. Longtime fan, and I want to call out the other clones. Check out Dave Whalen's movie on Amazon Prime. I did Savage Land. It's fantastic.
My man, I love that you're still a clone. You're doing as well as you are. I love that you're still a clone. All right, Tony Loughman joining us. Listen, you're back in Las Vegas, and Dave Whalen appreciates the shout-out, of course. You're back in Las Vegas. I know you know that I'm going to ask you about the vibe in the city in just one moment, but I also know that you're a guy who is always looking for new foods, new experiences when you're on the road. Have you had a chance to visit the Taco Bell Cantina?
Rome, you are always so thoroughly prepared. War Taco Bell Cantina. I have never been more excited to eat a meal in Las Vegas. This is the Mecca. I'm a longtime Taco Bell fan, so it's hard to knock my socks off, but this place is off the charts. Maybe the most amazing thing about it, and I called my wife with this immediately, they have a wedding package. It's right on the strip, $600. If we weren't already married, that would have been my move. Can I have a cheesy gordita crunch and a Diablo sauce and a lifelong commitment to my beautiful soulmate, Danielle? Can you imagine it, Rome? It would have been amazing.
Dude, this is incredible. Seriously, you can get married in the Taco Bell Cantina.
$600. I want to know all the details. You know how people do a renewal of vows? Nothing could be more romantic. You come to Vegas, you have all the entertainment options, and you get hitched at Taco Bell Cantina.
I'll tell you what, man, I don't know whether or not it's the best thing I've ever heard or it's the most depressing thing I've ever heard. Instead of going to that plush resort that I did in Napa with Janet, had I known that we could hook this thing up at the Taco Bell Cantina, you'd do that all day long. That's a no-brainer.
I know, Rome. It's a game changer.
Now we know.
I was going there just to have the food, and I was blown away to find out about that.
All right, then. Tony Loughman, now you know. That's great. You can get married at the Taco Bell Cantina. Now, the cantina aside, what is your sense of the mood among the Golden Knights fans right now, and what are you expecting that crowd to do, and how will they show up tonight?
They will try to will their team to victory, and I totally get that. Their passion for this team is so awesome. I know a lot of people wondered just how well this would work, and it's obviously just gone off the charts in terms of how remarkable their success has been in this, their inaugural season. Their owner, Bill Foley, set the timetable. Playoffs in 3 years, Stanley Cup in six. Here they are in year one doing what they're doing. Having said that, they've lost three straight after taking game one in the series, and they're facing elimination, as you pointed out. And you have to go back to 1942 when the Red Wings had a 3-0 lead, and the Toronto Maple Leafs came all the way back. I will take the suspense out of it. There's always a desire to have a prediction. I think Washington closes out the series tonight, but I don't think that takes anything away from what's been the greatest pro sports story of my lifetime. This is like the 21st century equivalent of Rocky. Truly remarkable, even if they don't end up capturing the cup.
We're talking to Tony Loughman. You took all the expense out of it, or I should say suspense out of it. Hey, Tony, what if that does not happen? For instance, what if Vegas wins tonight? How much pressure then goes back on the Capitals for a Game 6 at home?
I like where your head's at. Because of what Washington has been through, it's been well chronicled that they've had 3-1 series leads and blown it five different times. And we know about the long-suffering fan base. For the Caps, in their inaugural year, they had 8 wins. Here they are, 44 years down the road. They've never hoisted the cup. They got to the final 20 years ago, got swept in 4. by Detroit. In the Ovi era, they've never been out of the second round till this year. So much disappointment, so much frustration each spring. If they do what you pointed out, if they can't close it out in five, you wonder, does any doubt creep in? This is a mentally tougher Caps team than we've seen in recent years during the Ovi era, but you'd be foolish to think that it wouldn't be somewhere in the deep recesses of their minds thinking, uh-oh, we certainly don't want this thing to go back to a game seven in Vegas. We got to take care of it in game six. If they don't, in game five.
Tony Loughman joining us, representing the NHL Network. Listen, speaking of Ovi, you are perhaps the only analyst I have ever heard who would compare Alex Ovechkin and Charo. Go ahead, lay it out for me. How is the legendary guest star from Laugh-In, Fantasy Island, and the Love Boat similar to Ovi?
Coochie, coochie, coo. 10 different appearances on the Love Boat, and I felt she was underappreciated, perhaps because of her accent, perhaps because she wasn't a native English speaker. In the case of Ovi, that's the parallel. One of my coworkers, Mike Rupp, actually pointed this out. He said there's a North American bias that if somebody with the last name Smith or Jones that was born in North America had done what Ovi has done in his career, they would be far more revered, far greater appreciation headed their way. This is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. He is one of the all-time greats. Yes, there was that consistent criticism. Yeah, but he can't win. He's not a winner. All of that is nonsense. This guy is doing everything he can. He's blocking shots, scoring goals. Whether he wins the Conn Smythe or not, if the Caps win this series and they hoist the cup for the first time in franchise history, it is without a doubt his force of will that's made it happen. I'm thrilled for him because people are starting to come around and go away from the narrative that existed before. Ovi deserves respect and appreciation, and like Charo, he is going to be somebody that for decades we talk about and celebrate.
Tony Loughman joining us. Tony, let me ask you about Barry Trotz. He's somebody who I've had on the program numerous times. I love that conversation. The guy's really thoughtful, really, really thoughtful. You know how beloved he is in Nashville, even after he left. So what would it mean to him to see him win a Stanley Cup?
Oh, I love that you brought that up because he is one of my favorite stories in sports. This is a guy, as you point out, so well-respected. You can fool the fans. You can fool the media. You can't fool your colleagues, and you can't fool the people in the game. And his reputation is just spectacular. This is a contract year for him. I remember going to a morning skate earlier this season and bringing that up and bringing up the movie Moneyball, where Art Howe says, I can't be expected to manage on a one-year deal. And Billy Beane, Brad Pitt, says, well, sure you can. To do what he's doing this year, to put together the run of years he's had, if this is the winning business, and everybody in hockey says that, look at how much this guy has won, not just over his career where he's fifth all-time in regular season wins, but the last 3 years, two President's Trophies, three division titles, and now he has three chances to take the Caps to the Cup and win it in such dramatic fashion in a year where they didn't win the President's Trophy and people didn't expect them to do this. This is a marvelous coaching job by a guy who I am certain deserves to be coaching in this league next year, whether it's with the Caps or somebody else. Only time will tell.
All right, Tony, last thought, just to make some an argument for Vegas, knowing the way you know them, knowing the way that team is constructed, knowing what it's like inside that dressing room, how do you think they come out tonight?
They will come out with tremendous confidence. They're the Golden Misfits. This is nothing new to them. They've been doubted every step of the way. The reason they're here is because the teams that had them didn't value them. So they're going to come out and play the way that they play. And realistically, they're more than capable of winning three games in a row. They've never lost four games in a row. And I believe if they can play clean, don't put Washington on the power play. They went 3-for-5 in game four. There are only three teams in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs that have done on the power play what the Caps have done. If you can play him at even strength and Marc-Andre Fleury gets back to playing the way he did in the first three rounds, we could be headed for a series that goes 5, 6, 7 games, which the two most beautiful words in the English language, Rome, are game seven. We can only hope for that.
Hey, Tony, listen, you are crushing your opportunity. You got an amazing opportunity. You're making the most of it. But before you go, I did introduce you in part as a former UCLA basketball manager. As you look back of your time at UCLA, who is your favorite UCLA Bruin ever?
I would go from my time there, Ed O'Bannon, from all time, Jackie Robinson. Those two guys make me so proud to talk about UCLA, the way that they wore the four letters and the distinction that they brought. I couldn't be more proud to be a UCLA Bruin anytime those two names come up.
Where does Jim Herrick fit into that conversation?
Oh, He's the best. I use his impersonation all the time. Beyond time, when time is involved, I say it all the time. All of his little pearls of wisdom. I treasure Coach Eric, and I keep in touch with him.
You know what? I'm not as good at that as you are, but I remember the first time he saw me in Janet, he said, "Rome, man, you overachieve, son." You got to teach me how to do that. I'm not real good with impressions, but he made that very clear, too.
And he would tell me anytime I was dating a girl in college, he would say, "Luffman, hell, you're no Robert Redford." That was to him the standard. I loved it.
NHL Network host, friend of the program and a clone, a former UCLA basketball manager. You want to make sure you watch Tony Luffman. He's going to host the NHL Network's NHL Tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, live from Las Vegas. And then immediately following tonight's Game 5. Tony, great job. Great to have you back. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
Have a great day. Have a great game. Tony Luffman, somebody else who came through the ranks, would appear on our TV shows, got that opportunity back east, and has just crushed it. He's doing great. Really proud of him. All right, when we come back, open segment, and then after that, I've got Lee Jenkins, Sports Illustrated senior writer. Get in here, clones. Let's do this. 1-800-636-8686. Day 4 of the Hall of Fame balloting. We are in a firefight. It's a battle. I've got to update you on that. Working up a sweat when you're on the field is one thing. Breaking into a sweat, though, in your own car is quite another. If you turn on the AC in your car and nothing but hot air comes out, it is time to take some serious steps. Get your car to the coolest place in town, O'Reilly Auto Parts, because it's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And while your AC may eventually need professional repairs, O'Reilly Auto Parts has what you need to make it through the hottest months of the summer. Summer can be bad enough. There is no reason to be driving around and then look like you stepped right out of a sauna. It's going to be hot for quite some time. If it's cool, there's a good chance Murray makes it that way. O'Reilly Auto Parts has it in stock, too. Everything from refrigerants to Murray AC compressors. So not only do you get what you need to make your ride cool and comfortable, you get it with the best service imaginable and great parts and guaranteed low prices. Do not let summer wreck your cool. It's Murray AC Month. It's at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, quick reminder, if you want maximum performance from your car, you can use an edge. You can get that edge with Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It has been tested in the Kurt Orban test. The 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Again, breaking news in the NBA this morning. Brian Colangelo resigns as president of the 76ers. It seems to have been determined that it was his wife who was responsible for the burner accounts. Either way, the guy had to go. Either way, you can't bring him back. Either way, because of that perception, there's no way you could stay there. And as I mentioned, when you look at somebody like that, with that last name, who's had the career he's had, a 2-time executive of the year, to see his career there and maybe in total implode the way it has over something that happened on social is pretty hard to fathom. But that's a real thing. That just happened. That guy just lost his job over some burner accounts that his wife probably set up in an attempt to defend her man. A great career. A great job. So social, get somebody else. Like I said, be careful what you tweet. Do not tweet angry. Do not tweet drunk. And do not tweet from burner accounts. Much less 5 of them. Dear Jimbo, I'd be so ticked off if my wife did something that got me fired. Colangelo's lady is the worst. Signed, John Wayne Bobbitt. Casey in New Hampshire wore the silent treatment instead of castration. Way to wedge that in there, Casey. Way to shoehorn that in there, Casey. Hey, Casey, you wake up in the morning like John Wayne Bobbitt, man. I'd give anything to find a way to work that into Rome Show. Castration smack. Strong effort, Case. Yeah, because I'm going to follow up a Casey email with one from Steve in PHX. I don't even need to read that. Today's a great example of more of me and less of you. More of me and less of you is good for the program. All right, so we talked about LeBron. Or we talked about Kevin Durant, I should say. Let's talk about LeBron right now. See, Kevin Durant deserves all the run that he's getting for last night. He probably deserves even more than he's getting for last night. He was that good. I mean, that was that amazing a performance. And it makes the argument that KD is somehow gravy training his way to another ring even more absurd based on what we saw last night. But I'll tell you what we're not going to do. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to have this discussion. You're not coming in here to say that last night proves that KD is better than LeBron. That's not happening. Not today. Not having it. I just got through telling you that I'm not going to have an MJ-LBJ argument, so I'm sure as hell not having a Durant-LeBron argument. Not everything has to be about the lava. Not everything has to be about the greatest of all time. You see, last night was a moment. It was an amazing moment. Not just for what it meant for Kevin Durant and the Warriors, but I'd even argue for LeBron and the Cavaliers. Think about this for a minute. LeBron had a 33-point triple-double, and nobody knew. Nobody cared. Everybody yawned. If LeBron drops a triple-double in the middle of the NBA Finals, does it even make a sound? Not at this point, it doesn't. See, that's the level that this guy's at right now. Anybody else has a 33-point triple-double on that big of a stage, and you've got confetti cannons blasting all night long. LeBron does it, and all it gets is a shrug. Even when he does it on a bad ankle and with a busted-up eye that's looking worse by the day, and even when he's doing things like this.
Here's LeBron working on JaVale McGee, has it poked away, gets it back, steps inside, McGee throws it off the backboard and done. LeBron got the ball at the top of the key, ducked under McGee, and with the shot clock winding down, whipped it off the backboard to himself, cruised down the lane and hammered it.
That was the Cavs radio. So Cleveland gets a performance like that from LeBron. Then they get 20 and 30 from Kevin Love, who I thought last night was practically belligerent. I've never seen that guy that physical. I've never seen that guy that aggressive. He looked like a dude possessed. So you get that from LeBron, you get that from Kevin Love, and then they get 15 and 6 from the guy they just brought in, a brand new signing. You know, that dude, Rodney Hood? Oh, wait, Rodney's been with the team for a few months? That's weird, because with the amount of time that Jordan Clarkson, a.k.a. Jordan Clankson, was playing and bricking, I would have figured that Cleveland didn't have any other options. But apparently they did, and that option was Rodney Hood. Coming off the back of that milk carton, and Euro-stepping dudes. I mean, that dude is crazy athletic. They get all of that, and then you get a terrible shooting night from Steph Curry, his worst ever in the postseason, a bad shooting night from Klay Thompson, foul trouble for Curry and Draymond Green, and they still lose. So if you're a competitor like LeBron, it's got to be soul-destroying, crushing. You do everything you can to stay alive in that series. You get that glimpse, and then here comes Kevin Durant with his cheat codes. J.R. Smith said exactly what it's like.
It's tough because, I mean, that's what you pray for. When those guys are missing like that and playing great defense, getting offensive rebounds, getting loose balls, stuff like that. And then got a damn 7-foot-2 guard out there cooking.
He's right, man. J.R.'s right. A 7-foot-2 guard. A 7-foot-2 guard out there cooking. Truth. I mean, KD had a giant chef's hat on last night. Dude was serving up one dish after another. Here's your tasting menu. How do you like this mid-range jumper? How about this runner? How about this thread-the-needle pass? And if you're LeBron, what the hell can you do? Nothing. You're playing a better team. You needed all the breaks to go your way to get a game or two. You got them all in game one, and then J.R. Smith happened. Then you get them in game three, and KD happened. LeBron said this is what happens when you run into a 7-foot-2 guard.
Can never relax, you know, and if you relax, they make you pay, and making you pay could cost you a game, you know. So it's tough, but you know it's all part of the competition, which I love and which I you know continue to lace them up every night.
Right, but that's kind of pressure that they put you under, and in a way, it's kind of unfair. because LeBron can't have a night off. Curry and Thompson can both have nights off and they still win. LeBron says they just do not have that margin for error.
It's almost like, you know, playing the Patriots. You just can't have mistakes. They're not going to beat themselves.
Not only are they not going to beat themselves, but if you're LeBron, it's got to feel like there's 11 of them out there. And at this point, there really is nothing this guy can do. Nothing he can do to win the series because he's done everything and his team hasn't won a game yet. There is nothing left. And for a guy like that to do pretty much anything, that's got to be the worst feeling ever. Friday night might be LeBron's last game in Cleveland, and it might not be. We can save that for another day, or we can do that right now if you want. I'd say this. If this guy leaves, I wouldn't blame him. If this guy stays, I doubt it, but I wouldn't blame him for that either. Because when you see this guy right now on that busted ankle with that messed up eye, and who knows what other injuries he's carrying and not showing, you can't say that this guy hasn't done everything he could and left everything he had all on the court. I would never say, I've never been one of those guys who thought that it's better not to go to the Super Bowl than to lose in the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to say that it's better for LeBron not to go to the finals than to get swept in the finals. But man, that's a hell of a way for him to go out. And people will use that against him and say that's another mark against another loss in the finals, when in reality, this guy's killed himself just to put them in a position to get swept in the finals. And if Golden State wants to end this thing right now and celebrate there, they will. Dear Pimp, there's a 90% chance that LeBron rolls up to game four in a moving truck and brings a stack of empty boxes into the locker room. Jeff from the 919, War Orin coming in today and slamming Jeff in Richmond into the grave that Tyler and Matt dug for him yesterday. Speaking of Jeff in Richmond, the Squatter and I were communicating. Squatter let me know. Squatter monitors all the analytics and metrics, especially of our Facebook page. He said that Jeff in Richmond hit big again. But he wanted to make the point, he's polarizing as hell. Polarization would suggest love and hate. So not exactly all love. Jeff came in here yesterday before he pissed off everybody again and wanted to make clear that the last time he came in, he had nothing but love.
Jeff from Richmond has established himself as the only legitimate sports radio god in this industry, Jim. And in the words of the great actor Denzel Washington from the classic film Training Day, Jim, King Kong ain't got nothing on me, Jim.
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at the comments. It's not exactly all love. I mean, I'm all about the reaction. Except the reaction is not, quote, all love. My man's glossing himself, going third person, and saying that everybody loves him. Go to my Facebook page and look for that call. I mean, it's great, but it's not all love.
Jim, it's been overwhelming. Not one negative comment.
Not one. Like 5,000. But not one. Look for it on our Facebook page. When we return, Lee Jenkins, a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, will be joining us. Still to come, Ref Watch. It seemed like the worst idea ever. Bunch of refs getting together on Twitter trying to defend the choices and decisions the refs are making this postseason. It actually was not a bad thing. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere. But first, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Smokey 34 tweets. Jordan Clankson. Straight fire. You know, I don't know if you mean that facetiously or if you really mean that. I know this. I don't get credit for that either way. The entire internet gets credit for that. Everybody with a Twitter feed has been hitting him with that. Jordan Clankson. Especially seeing Hood last night and how amazing he was. At Finding Rebo tweets, Brian Colangelo needs a fall wife. Signed, Chris Carter.
In case y'all not going to decide to do the right thing, if y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Colangelo says that he did not know about his wife's Twitter accounts. I don't know if that's true or not. He said that, though. That's his statement. I did not know she was doing it. Benny in Wisco tweets, great interview with Tony Loughman. Excited for you and Alvin DeLauro to address the burst of laughter towards the end. Loughman's good for two or three of those in an interview. He's happy, man. I like the guy. I like people who are happy. He's enthusiastic. He's happy. He's not afraid to laugh at himself or anybody else or anything. It's the best I've heard since my man Billy Koch back in the day. Alvin, not prepared. There you go. Billy Koch was... Nice recovery, Alvin. Billy Koch was the guy who got me into horse racing. Thank you for nothing, BK. Actually, thank you for some of the best times of my life. Thank you for some of the best times of my life, and thank you for some of the saddest moments of my life. Thanks for all of it. Lee Jenkins is going to join me any second. In fact, Lee Jenkins is going to join me right now. Lots to talk about regarding the NBA Finals and even going forward. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Lee Jenkins is my guest. Lee, it's always good to have you on. Great to have you back. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Jim. How are you?
Lee, I'm great. Thank you for joining us. Breaking news this morning, of course, the announcement that the Philadelphia 76ers, Lee, and Brian Colangelo were parting ways. What a strange story that was. What is your reaction to the news?
I'm actually just surprised it took this long. It felt inevitable. I mean, I don't think they can go forward as an organization with him there. And, you know, I started to think last night, like, you know, what kind of value even is this? It's not as if, I mean, I'm sure he's an accomplished executive and everything, but you can always go and find, I think, another GM. What you can't do is repair a relationship with your star players, specifically Joel Embiid, after something like this, because it goes back to, even if it was the guy's wife, it's still information she's presumably getting from him. There's no other way she could be getting that information and the opinion. You know, if Joel Embiid knows that that's the opinion of the guy who employs him, I just don't see how you move forward. And that team clearly has so much at stake and such a promising future. I just can't jeopardize that over an executive.
Hey, listen, I know why they did what they did, but where does that leave him? Would another team bring him in on that level?
I mean, it's sad to say, Jim, I don't see that. Do you see that?
No, I don't.
I mean, I almost wonder if he ends up, does he end up in the media? You know, I've thought about that a lot. Like, and this is somebody with deep roots in USA basketball, but I don't even know if you can do that. I think that will be a really interesting thing to see. And it feels like in the past, at least in other sports, you have, you know, disgraced players or coaches that end up on TV. They end up kind of rehabbing themselves. If you look at A-Rod, I mean, you end up rehabbing themselves, you know, with the media. And I sort of wonder if that's the way he'll go, but I don't really have any insight into it.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins. You know, Lee, shifting back to the finals, knowing Kevin Durant as you do, and I'm thinking about that profile from back in the day that you had on him when he told you that he was tired of finishing second. What did you think as you were watching that performance that he put on last night?
He really wanted that. He was somebody who knows him told me you're going to see OKC KB tonight, and I think he felt at some points through this run, like, you know, he's been an A level guy his whole career. He's been the guy, and Golden State's trying to pull off a trick that not many teams have pulled off, where you have two superstars essentially both riding in the front seat. You know, you look back at Miami, they had, at some point, they made the decision, those players made the decision, that LeBron was going to ride in the front and Dwayne Wade was going to take a bit of a back seat. And I think that, as kind of functional as this Golden State culture is, that's still a hard trick to pull. And I think Durant, in some ways, at some points, he needs to be able to rediscover that part of himself, which is just take over KD. I mean, with the heart of this guy is that he is an incredible scorer, a top two player in the league, maybe the most talented when you just talk about shot making, in addition to the other physical gifts, player in the league. And so, to me, that game, I kind of felt like he had to have a game like that almost as a reminder of what he can bring to a team and that he's not necessarily here as just a luxury, as they call him, because they do. They'll call him things like a safety valve or a luxury. And sometimes you just think and you're like, this is Kevin Durant. I mean, this was the guy who was going to be right there with LeBron several years ago. That was the way I think we all expected it to unfold. And he is right there with LeBron in terms of and ahead of him from a team standpoint. Last night, I think he was able to show it individually.
Lee Jenkins joining us. Lee, to that point, you know, him and LeBron. Last year, Durant said of LeBron, quote, "LeBron was larger than life. I was just taller," end quote. I mean, yeah. It's a great, great quote. And then LeBron was really complimentary of Durant last night. So what's your sense as to the dynamic between the two of them right now?
I mean, they're not best friends or anything. That's not those days of Durant going to train with LeBron in Akron. And remember, they went to dinner at Prime in Miami after one of those finals games back in 2012. Those days are over. That the relationship's not that. But I do think, you know, I think LeBron sort of views himself sort of as a keeper of the sport at this point. And to him, Durant has always been the main challenger. I think the other guys have come and gone and maybe have been sort of nuisances, but there's just been, I mean, you can't not have a respect for Durant's game because there is no bad shot for him really. And that's what was sort of interesting through this playoff run. There's been all these debates about the ISO game and him taking kind of bad shots. But when you're 7 feet tall, essentially, and you shoot like that with those arms, there is no really bad shot. I think that LeBron just has a respect for KD's physical gifts because really nobody else is that gifted besides him.
Like J.R. Smith said, he's a 7'2" guard, Lee. And when he gets cooking last night, you can forget it. You know, I was also fascinated. Lee Jenkins, my guest. I was fascinated watching Rodney Hood last night. And I thought you had a really interesting piece with him earlier in the series when he wasn't playing. He told you that he was watching highlights of himself on YouTube and reminding himself that those highlights were from this year and that he could still play. So how would you describe his mindset when he was describing that to you?
Yeah, and a lot of guys do that. I even remember LeBron saying that way back, like after the Dallas series. I remember him saying that he would watch his old highlights as kind of reminders. So I don't think that's unusual. I think what's unusual about Hood is that it wasn't that long ago. And it's like these guys don't just forget how to play. So much of for NBA players is fit and circumstance. And for some reason, there will be players who thrive alongside LeBron James and their careers are kind of made because of it. And then there are others who for one reason or another, and maybe it's strategic and maybe it's more psychological, they aren't able to find their footing. So I think for Rodney Hood, it's just he's sitting there. You're talking about a guy who's averaging career highs. I think he's averaging 18 a game or 16 a game or something in Utah. And then all of a sudden he can't get off the bench behind Jordan Clarkson. So I think so much of his time has been spent trying to get confidence back and people in his ear trying to infuse confidence in him because it's not, to me, for Rodney Hood, this isn't even about this finals. It's just about, can you still go back to being a viable NBA player? Like who are you? This guy's going to be a free agent and teams are going to have to make calls on a dude like this and figure out which version of Rodney Hood are we even getting?
Right, I'm not sure which one it is. I know this. He was electric last night, I thought. Lee, the Cavs clearly are not as good of a team as the Warriors, but they did have a great chance in Game 1. They had a very good chance last night. How frustrating, Lee, is it for LeBron to do what he's done and still be on the verge of getting swept?
Yeah, I mean, it's been massively frustrating, but it's an era, right? And I think even if as close as they get, it feels, and it's sort of like the Rockets. You know, I was in there last night thinking, well, maybe if they had Chris Paul, it wouldn't have even mattered, right? It seems like the Warriors at times this season, they'll do just enough. Like they're not, the old Warriors would just kind of blow you out for the fun of it, like the sport of it. It didn't even matter if they were, you know, leading the conference by 100 games. They would still just try to kill everybody. It seems like now they'll kind of they'll toy with you a little bit. They're okay with keeping it close. I think they like the edge that comes with, you know, a tight game or a tight series even, but that in the end, they have so much more than everybody else. Their margin for error is so massive. So you can have a game like last night where you get nothing from Curry, you get nothing from Thompson, and you still win on the road because you've got one more Hall of Famer in your bag. I think LeBron's probably at the point where most of the NBA is at, where he realizes this is virtually an impossible task. Maybe you win a game. Maybe you win two games, but to actually take them out in a seven-game series, I think is nearly impossible.
So, Lee, before you go, where do you think that leaves LeBron? I mean, what do you think it says? I mean, the series isn't over, and already there's a temptation to start talking about whether or not he's going to leave, and if he does, where he might go. How do you see the whole process playing out over the next month or so?
I think he'll string it out. He always does. It's going to depend on is the motivation at this point, and I would have to lean toward that it is, given everything that we know of him, to find a place where he has the best chance to create the rebuttal to the Warriors. And that rebuttal may come from within. It may come from a Warriors player at some point saying, I want to go front my own franchise again. I want to kind of be the guy again somewhere. It could come from the salary cap permutations that Golden State will have to face in the next couple of years, or it could come from outside. It could come from basically LeBron James saying, I'm going to go here because they have this, and I think we can get more. We can get a lot more. And, you know, when you think about the Lakers, it's not necessarily what they have. It's what they have the ability to go get in the next two or three years, that maybe after Golden State cycles down somewhat, they could be in a position to be that next team moving forward. That's where, to me, the intrigue lies with them. It's not necessarily even about Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. It's more about what they have the potential to do with those two max slots, with being the Lakers, with Magic Johnson, and with some of those young players potentially growing.
Lee, quick follow. I really appreciate your time. You mentioned Golden State, that maybe one of those guys might want to go front some other franchise themselves. I could see Kevin Durant maybe wanting to do that. Do you think Klay Thompson has that in him? Is that something he thinks about and something he might want?
I don't know him as well, but I would say from what I do know that that's unlikely. I think, you know, I don't think it would be Klay Thompson. I don't even know that it would be Durant. I think it's possible. I think a lot of these guys, you sit here on a day like this and it seems like this thing's going to go on forever. And it might. They might be in the middle of it. It's funny, they talk about it kind of like it's the end. Like Kerr will compare it to the 98 Bulls. And you sit there, well, that was the end. And you guys theoretically should just be in the middle. And they probably are just in the middle. But a year ago, I wouldn't have believed that Kyrie Irving would have asked out either. So things change and guys sort of want different things and want different challenges. And the Kevin Durant you saw last night, he can be that pretty much every night. That's how good he can be. Everybody is suppressing a piece of themselves to win like this, but guys also want to win on their own terms. So how you navigate, you know, that kind of internal conflict will sort of be revealing of what happens with them going forward.
Lee Jenkins, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Lee, I always appreciate you working hard to make yourself available for this program. Thank you so much for doing that, Lee.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, Lee. I appreciate that because he's right in the middle of the NBA Finals. Hard to get guys like that are grinding in the middle of the NBA Finals. So my thanks to Lee Jenkins. So I'll set up hour number three for you. We're open. We've done all three of the interviews. Mike Freeman, Tony Loughman, Lee Jenkins. 1-800-636-8686. The point that he made about Brian Colangelo, even if his wife was responsible for those burner accounts, and apparently she was, he says that she was, it doesn't matter who it was. Not as it relates to the Sixers. You can't keep him there. It doesn't matter because Lee made a great point. I mean, clearly, even if she was responsible and she was the one who was tweeting out, she probably had conversations with her husband. She probably got some of that content from her husband. So even if she's responsible for physically setting up those accounts, even if he doesn't know that she was responsible for setting up those accounts, where is she getting that info? Are these all of her opinions? I mean, was there a disclaimer that tweets are not an endorsement? Tweets do not reflect the opinions of my old man? You can't really separate the two. So he had to go. And understandably so. We can hit that. Kevin Durant having a huge game last night. The Cavaliers have no margin for error whatsoever. LeBron gets a triple-double. Steph Curry has a bad night. Klay Thompson has a bad night. Draymond was in foul trouble. LeBron has a triple-double. It doesn't matter. They still got hammered. That's how much better Golden State is. That's how much deeper they are. Also, I've got to hit the Radio Hall of Fame. You know I do. It's day four. It might feel like month four. It's only day four. This thing is a two-week race. We got to keep hammering away. Got an update for you there, too. Ref watch. It seemed like the worst idea ever. It was not that bad. All that still ahead. Hey, how about some phone calls? Open phones in the third hour. Come in here. I'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We're coming right back. I am Jim Rome.